Welcome, my friends, to the Generation Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, homeschool father of five, raising our kid back in Denver, Colorado. Raised in a Christian home myself, my parents homeschooled six of us back in the 1960s and 1970s. And the generational continuity just continues. And that brings up this little story. Before we get into the content on this program, I read the story online. I never saw this before, but it really rang a bell with me. Here it is, Bill. Ready?
I'm sitting down.
Bill Jack, waiting expectantly for this great little story.
With bated breath.
The other day, I was in an old farmhouse in the adjoining county, and someone asked me a rhetorical question. Why didn't we have a drug problem when we were growing up? No Ritalin, no psychotropics. Our parents just didn't drug us. I replied that I had a drug problem when I was young.
Really?
I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church for weddings and funerals. I was drugged to family reunions and community socials, no matter the weather. I was drugged by my ears when I was disrespectful to adults. I was also drugged to the woodshed when I disobeyed my parents, told a lie, brought home a bad report card, did not speak with respect. I was drugged to the kitchen sink to have my mouth washed out with soap if I uttered a profanity. I was drugged out to pull weeds in mom's garden and flower beds. I was drugged to the homes of neighbors to help mow the yard, repair the clothesline. These drugs are still in my veins, and they affect my behavior, everything I do, say, or think. They're stronger than cocaine, crack, or heroin. If today's children had this kind of drug problem, Eric would be a better place. That's pretty funny.
That's funny. That's but he wasn't dragged to the English grammar class,
he evidently wasn't.
Okay,
no.
That just grates on my ears. But that's funny.
That's a good one.
That is funny.
Yeah. Did you get drugged?
I did. Yeah. Three times a week.
Three
Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night.
Three times a week got drunk.
And then there were revivals twice a year.
Yep.
And this was in an old-time Methodist church back in southern Illinois.
Okay,
And I am, those drugs still
in the veins.
Yeah, still in the veins.
Yep. I got a lot of drugs in my veins, too.
Yep.
From everything my folks did for us. Family worship every day, 7:20 to 8 o'clock a.m. You know, we were drugged 40 minutes every day. Drugged in the Word of God.
And I praise God for it.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, back to what we're going to do today. We're talking about religion today.
Yeah.
Religion. Everybody's got one.
Yep.
That's one thing, you know, even the atheists and agnostics don't want to admit, but everybody's got a religion.
They believe. Everybody believes in something. Even the person who believes in nothing believes in something.
Here's an Associated Press story about a convicted killer says state won't let him practice his religion. Hey, a convicted killer has filed a federal civil lawsuit against the state of Connecticut, saying he's not allowed to practice religion in prison. Kevin Harris, serving life sentence for murder. In Bristol. He's a member of the Nation of Gods and Earths, an offshoot of the Nation of Islam, more commonly called the Five Percenters, because they're the 5% of the population that knows and teaches the truth. The others are idiots, basically. Its philosophy has been including the lyrics of hip-hop music by such artists as Busta Rhymes. Apparently, they believe that black men are gods.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hmm. And they are a racial supremacist group. And so, apparently, they're not building chapels for them in federal prisons. So there's a lawsuit going on.
Well, what do they want to do in these chapels? Do they have to have a chapel?
I guess they got to do something.
My God does not dwell in a temple made by the hands of man.
Understood, but apparently this guy wants to practice his religion and whatever he's supposed to. I don't know if it's human sacrifice or what. You know, there are some weird religions out there, Bill. I never imagined this was a religion. I guess there is one.
I know.
There's a religion for everybody. In fact, you know, I wonder if somebody ought to do maybe a designyourownreligion.com.
Well, there is. There's the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Use like a,
remember that one?
Yeah. Use like a random proposition generator. And you can create like a billion religions. You know, think about all the possible religions.
It really appeals
to man's innate sense of autonomy.
This is because you still are a fan of Star Trek, aren't you? There are all kinds of religions and all kinds of peoples out there. And
I think Calvin called the human mind an idol manufacturing center. We just crank them out, man.
Yeah.
Crank them out. Think about all the nutty religions you can create. And think about how that would drive the federal prison system nuts.
You'd have to accommodate.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to have a priest for every one of them.
Because we have lost our moorings. Because we no longer anchor ourselves in truth. Therefore, there are many truths. And therefore, you can't deny a person his truth.
Sure. And all that to say that Bill and I do not believe that all religions should be accepted as equal. I know that's a shocker.
No, yeah.
That's a shocker to people out there. But, you know, total religious neutrality is impossible. It is.
Yeah. Think about it. Total tolerance is impossible.
If there is a religion, as part of the religious ritual of this religion, a very important part of it is to blow up American cities, to nuke American cities, one by one, Washington, New York, Chicago.
No, so you've now gone to Iran.
That's
the
religion. That's the religion. See, my guess is the American federal government would have a problem with that religion and would want to curtail the ritual produced by that religion.
Probably.
Yeah.
But not under current administration, because that's exactly the religion of Iran.
That's true. But certain leaders would be, I think, opposed to that religion. A religion that wants to kill the infidels. That's a bad religion. And there are governments still in the world that take issue with that religion.
Mm-hmm.
A religion that wants to sacrifice, say, one human every day, preferably a virgin.
Kind of like the Mayans?
That's a bad religion.
The Aztecs, the Mayans.
Now, my guess is there are people right now in the United States that rather prefer a religion like that.
Well, at the Museum of Nature and Science several years ago, they had an exhibit, a whole exhibit dedicated to the Mayan culture. And as part of the exhibit, they had this ziggurat built, you know, and they talked about how they have blood
on the ziggurat.
But they brought school children through this thing in droves and praised the Mayan religion.
Right. You know, we were at Jamestown. There's a big museum in Jamestown.
Yeah.
Took my children there, and we were in the bookstore.
Did they have a ziggurat?
We were in the bookstore of Jamestown, and of all the stuff on the Indians. And I was reading the accounts of the early Indian tribes, as reported by the first settlers.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking 1590s, early 1600s. And so I'm seeing these chapters on human sacrifice, you know. And so I'm thinking, whoa, I didn't realize there was human sacrifice. Because all this museum is about glorifying the Indians, or much of it was about glorifying the Indians.
Yeah.
So then we go out to the little village out back of the museum in Jamestown. And there's one of the Indian guys, you know, all dressed up like an Indian. And I said, I'm looking at the Indian village, and I'm saying, real quick, where did they sacrifice the little boys, the humans? Where would they do that? You know, where? And I wanted to sort of familiarize myself with the Indian culture, you know.
And he kind of wanted to sacrifice you.
He was not happy. I did it real loud, you know, so I was like,
no,
I'm a tourist. No. I came all the way from Denver, Colorado.
I don't want to see where
the Indian village. I want to know where they did the human sacrifice.
Oh, that's a hoot.
In the Indian village. He was not happy with me.
Oh, okay. Imagine yourself that you're Cortez, because Cortez gets this bad rap, right?
Yeah.
And he lands, and they think he's a god because of their mythology. You know, there's going to be a white god. So they throw a big feast for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He and his men, they're sitting there, and as part of the celebration, what do? They sacrifice humans.
Sure.
Now, Cortez is sitting there. You're Cortez.
Yeah.
Now, and you go to yourself, you think to yourself, excuse me, this isn't right.
Yeah.
This should be stopped.
Yeah,
I have the power to stop it, and I will.
Now, I think there's some contradiction amongst the elite today. They, on the one hand, they want the Aztecs and the Mayas to do whatever the Aztecs and Mayas do. On the other hand, they don't want anybody to know that the Aztecs and the Mayas are doing what the Aztecs and Mayas are doing.
Kind of like the abortion issue today.
It kind of is. We don't really want to talk about
Margaret Sanger was a Mayan.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so. The point that we're trying to make, friends, is you sort of have to pick your worldview if you're going to run a government. You have to draw some lines. I hate to say it, but you're going to have to say, you know what, based upon our religious perspective, because neutrality is impossible, we believe that religions that offer humans to the gods may not operate in our jurisdiction. You have to say that. Now, why do you say you say that? Because you're Christian. Now, my recommendation is you choose a biblical perspective, a religious perspective that's based on a biblical perspective, not a Marxist perspective, not a messed up American perspective or a Muslim perspective or a Mayan perspective. I would recommend you start with a Christian perspective and you draw certain lines. And I would say be very careful about allowing certain religions to practice and serve their gods by way of animal sacrifice and human sacrifice. And you say, well, why is that? Well, because God's word doesn't allow for it. Because according to our faith, there was a sacrifice. One. And that's all we need. Don't need any more. Okay.
I think
now, that's kind of narrow-minded.
Well.
That's narrow-minded.
Yeah.
Kevin
but
Swanson's law discriminates.
Law discriminates. You have to determine whose law under which you're going to live. Is it going to be man's law or is it going to be God's law?
Yeah.
God's law brings freedom.
Yep.
Man's law brings slavery, death,
and destruction.
And I happen
to believe that a proper understanding of biblical law will maximize freedom.
That's right.
And the other approach minimizes it eventually and creates massive tyranny. Okay, here's another solution to this whole problem of whether or not you ought to allow everybody to worship in the prison system. And here's, I think, a great solution. Get rid of the prison system. Just get rid of it. Get rid of the prison system.
Excuse me.
Use the biblical solutions of restitution and capital punishment. Don't keep murderers alive forever and ever. This is a convicted killer. And they want to give him the right to worship the sun goddess?
Exactly.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Execute the guy. He's a convicted murderer. Murder one. Genesis 9:6. Check it out.
Okay. And also Romans 13. You'll find a few other instances to the government's use of the sword.
All right. So anyway, solutions to the problem. Now, there's one other story that sort of ties in with this before we take the break, Bill. Bradley Manning. Remember the guy? Bradley Manning.
Is this Peyton's half-wit cousin?
Nope. This is Bradley Manning, who was a soldier who is now serving a 35-year sentence because he was probably the greatest traitor in the history of America.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, he moved millions and millions of documents, I guess, into the public sphere. And you say that guy, but CNN would take issue with you on that issue.
Because he's not...
This CNN article refers to him as a her. Throughout.
Chelsea.
She.
Chelsea Manning.
Yeah.
Oh, now I know who you're talking about.
No, this is Bradley Manning.
I thought it was Chelsea.
It's Bradley Manning who's being referred to as a she. Apparently, this guy is getting hormone therapy by your tax dollars.
That's nothing new.
Yeah.
Richard Speck, the guy who killed those nurses in Chicago years and years ago.
He was
sent to prison for life.
Same thing.
He got the same thing.
Okay.
Well, your tax dollars hard at work, friends, making sure that men who commit murder and treason in our national prisons can grow breasts.
That's,
does anybody out there say,
that's not a visual I want to see. No.
Does anybody out there go, there's something wrong with that?
That's something really wrong with that.
Does anybody out there? Does,
justice it, comes out
wouldn't
perverted.
Wouldn't you think that about 94% of Americans would say, there's something wrong with that. Wouldn't you think? 94% of Americans would say, your tax dollars hard at work, giving this guy hormone therapy, he can grow breasts and paint his toenails pink. I don't want to share my tax dollars with that.
And you said 94% because there's the 5%.
There's always the 5%.
And then there's the 1% of the transgender.
Yeah.
So that's 6.
That's about
100
six,
minus 6, that's
yeah,
94.
About 94.
You're pretty good at math.
Yeah. Okay, here's a verse. I was trying to find a biblical verse that could define the insanity we're talking about here in this story. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies.
Yeah.
That's close.
Woe to those who call evil good and good.
Yeah, same thing.
Folks, this is what Pompeii looked like on August 23rd, 1879. You know what happened on August 24th?
Death, destruction.
Kaboom.
Yeah.
This is what Pompeii looked like on August 23rd, 87. Back to you.
How will I care for my aging parents?
Isn't there a better way to care for our elderly than these costly facilities?
How can the church serve the elderly today?
Whether it be visiting or serving seniors, caring for elderly parents and relatives, operating home-based elder care in a family setting, or church-based opportunities, Christian Family Elder Care is here to encourage, equip, and enable relationship-centered, biblically honoring elder care. Join us in Denver, March 27th and 28th for the first National Christian Family Elder Care Conference. Our speakers will encourage God's vision for elder care in the family and church, equip caregiving families with practical training from veteran caregivers, provide church leaders with vision and resources, and introduce family and church-based alternatives to current unsustainable elder care methods. Register today and find out more at ChristianFamilyElderCare.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast.
Hey, Kevin. Okay, so you know how they have this speed trap out here on your highway?
Yeah, doubt me, on Road 17.
Yeah, I got a ticket. Remember that? Several months ago? Mm-hmm. I'm still stinging from that.
Ouch.
Well, I'm late again today. Mm-hmm. Coming here, and the police officer pulls me over.
No way.
Way,
and?
Yes.
And
he looks at me and he says, "Your eyes are bloodshot. Have you been drinking?"
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and I said, "Your eyes are glazed over. Have you been eating donuts?"
Okay. Yeah, you said that. Yeah, you said that.
A hard time believing. Donuts glazed over. Get it? It's a joke.
Yep.
It's a joke.
It's funny.
It really didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's a joke. But, you know.
It's kind of funny.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah,
okay. I'm going to hit a few more stories here. Here's what's happening. You know, with all the crazy religions in America, Christianity is fading in Europe. And we've talked about that.
Yeah.
But here's a UK Telegraph article about the number of Muslim children in Britain doubles in a decade. So, you know, I think it's important as we analyze the world and what's happening geopolitically that we know that humanism itself is Christian apostasy and does not have what it takes to sustain itself. Why? Because of guys like Carl Giraffe, for example. So humanism itself can't sustain itself.
No, it just creates a vacuum.
Yeah.
And nature abhors a vacuum. Yeah. So something's going to fill it.
Guess who shows up?
It's the
Muhammad and friends.
There you go.
Yes, Muhammad and friends have showed up. And so what you get in the UK is about 8% of the population of children are Muslim. Now, you probably also know, I've referred to this on the show before, that church attendance, the Christian church attendance, has dropped from 12% to 5% in England.
Hmm.
Since 1970. So now it's at 5%. So about 5%, and it's probably a little bit lower than that, closer to 3 to 4% of England are Christian. So Christian children. 8% Muslim. And that means that there are more Muslims than Christians in England today. At least if you judge by church attendance. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. That is, which at the same time, there's a book that's written called Why Civilizations Die and Why Islam mm-hmm. is Dying Too, which mm-hmm. is an interesting hook.
Mm-hmm.
But they're talking, this guy analyzed the birth rates in like Iran.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, the woman of today who is of birth
age.
Yeah, birth age. She grew up with like 7 siblings, but she's only giving birth to 3.
Mm-hmm.
So in Muslim countries,
they're seeing the same thing.
They're seeing a decline. Mm-hmm. However, as you pointed out, in England and in European countries, simply by immigration and simply by the attrition of birth rates by Europeans,
mm-hmm.
Muslims are outdoing.
Right.
And so they're going to win the culture war.
And remember, the birth rate of the average white European is somewhere between 1.1 and 1.3.
Yeah, they're not replacing.
So they're
themselves.
Not replacing.
No.
They're going down and will continue to go down. I'm not sure I know what could possibly reverse that trend.
I don't think
outside
there's anything.
Of the sovereignty of God.
Right.
And, you know, God sovereignly, supernaturally working things in a different direction. Outside of that, I can't think of how Europe will survive.
No, there's a tipping
all.
Point.
Yes.
And I think they've reached the tipping point where it's impossible for them to regain that.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, unless God intervenes.
Yeah, I remember
maybe that's revival.
An interview that one of the Hugh Hewitt did with Father Fescio, a Catholic priest or provost of a college in Florida. And this Catholic provost was talking about Europe and saying, you know, he had just had a meeting with the Pope and certain high-end officials of the Catholic religion there. And they had come to the conclusion that Christianity was dead in Europe, would not survive. Western civilization was over. The Muslims would take over by the year 2060 or 2080.
Mm.
So that was pretty much a done deal. Then they looked at America and said, there's a possibility that
right.
America might be able to hang on to some semblance of the Christian faith. One, because of the influence of the Hispanics from South America.
Correct.
And secondly, the influence of homeschoolers.
Homeschoolers.
Because he says there are some cultural groups that are still having children. They have the faith to have children. They have the hope. They have some future view of some kind of hopeful existence or some kind of civilization, something beyond themselves. And they have a faith that they believe to be more important to them themselves to pass on to the next generation. And he says, we Catholics have fewer home schools than you Protestants, and we better get busy here. Then he said, the home schools of the 21st century are the monasteries of the New Dark Age, with the exception of the fact that homeschoolers aren't celibate, and we like to point that out.
Yeah, that's fascinating, because this book that I referred to, it says exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. The hope lies in the United States because of the Hispanic worldview.
Yeah.
And because of homeschoolers.
You're kidding. They bring up the same thing.
No, they bring up the same thing in his opening statement.
Interesting. Wow.
Why civilizations die and why Islam is dying too. And I can't remember the author's name. But
well, and one more reason why the Gentoo survey is important. I'd encourage you, friends, to get a copy of the Gentoo survey. By the way, if you get copies of Keep the Faith, Volume 1 and or Volume 2, you get a free copy of the 16-page update on the Gentoo survey.
What if I buy the Gentoo survey? Will I get a free copy of
Faith
1 and Faith
2? You got it. Yeah, either way is fine.
Okay.
Just send us money and we'll send it to you, okay? Or if you can't afford it, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com and say you want a copy.
Yeah, and Bill will pay for it.
And Bill will pay for it.
Wait.
Okay.
What did I just say? Shut my mouth.
Let's move on. America's largest Christian bookstore chain files for bankruptcy. See that? Family Christian stores. Family Christian stores have filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Mm.
You know, there comes a point at which you pretty much flooded the market with Amish romances. And cartoon Bibles. And I've never been convinced that these are sufficient to salvage Western Christianity, by the way. You've been to these Christian bookstores?
My favorite are the Precious Moments.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, the little schlocky, sentimental art thing.
Yeah.
I don't know when the last time I bought a book in a Christian bookstore. It's probably been 10 years. For one thing, I buy it on Amazon. They got everything I want.
Yeah.
You can't buy Jonathan Edwards. Can't buy Augustine. Can't buy substantive stuff. You can maybe get a concordance at a Christian bookstore.
Yeah.
Maybe, but who needs that?
You got
online
Google.
Concordances. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So anyway. It just appears to me that
we live in a changing world, don't we?
Flaky Christianity is not surviving. It won't survive, as I see it. The Gentoo survey really brought out this fact that you got a lot of people tipping over into agnosticism and atheism, but almost a larger number, Bill, are tipping over into solid churches, discipleship churches. We found that the discipleship-oriented churches, where people say these churches tend to disciple us, hold us accountable, et cetera, they're serious, they're teaching us the Word of God. Those churches were growing. They grew at the expense of the flakier churches. That's what we saw in the survey. It tended to be where there was serious family discipleship, serious study of the Word of God, where the churches were growing. Some non-denominational, some Reformed churches tended to be the smaller churches growing. They're doing well. Those groups are doing well. Where it's fun and games, shallowness, liberalization, those churches are breaking apart. Where there's no Spirit of God, only programs to prop everybody up, that's going to fall apart. Where there's constant synthesis with the world's ideas, where everybody has to skip church, the worship of Jesus, to watch the Super Bowl. See, that's not going to survive. I think that's where we're headed.
Because we can't compete with the world standard. The world is very good at entertainment.
Yeah.
And the church can't compete, but we've tried to. We've tried to, especially in the youth movement.
Yeah.
You know, come to youth group. We're gonna have all the pizza you can eat. It's gonna be fun. So I'm gonna teach you gluttony.
Yeah.
Okay, eat all you can.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna teach you that the Christian life is mere entertainment.
Yeah.
That I can't compete with the entertainment the world offers.
Yeah.
Sin is fun.
But we
sin is fun for a season.
But we have a nuclear warhead, powerful instrument by which to disciple the nations.
It's truth and grace. And it's God's word.
The word of God. I think if people realize that, you know, you put away your programs for a second, you know, throw away the dry ice and the big band and, you know, just put aside for the next, you know, 4 years. You know, Larry Norman's last blog post, I was following him until he died. Larry Norman's Christian contemporary guy. He said that. He said, yeah, I think we ought to just put the music away for about 5 years, and teach nothing but the Word of God, and just see what happens. It's one of Larry Norman's very last blog posts. Isn't that interesting? Because here's the father of CCM. Remember?
Yeah.
Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music, Rock That Didn't Roll? Remember that in the
70s?
So he at the end of his life, he's saying, you know what? I'm not sure the music is accomplishing all that much for us, but let's get the word of God out. Isn't that cool?
You know, and there is
again,
that
I'm
debate.
Not saying, I'm not dissing music. I'm just saying, it seems to me that the music is way too important.
Right.
And we think that somehow, you know, the next major motion picture or this next major concert or whatever is going to, you know, really make an impact. You know, the Apostle Paul say, you know what you ought to do? It doesn't matter how good of a rhetorician you are. Just pull out that word and use a little bit of foolishness of that preaching. Just see what happens, man.
Have you ever gone to a Christian concert, by the way, and just watched the audience? There's not
can't
much difference. There isn't a difference in their reaction to a
secular concert.
Okay. It's that it is, you know, build people up emotionally and get them, draw them out of themselves. And there is this mindlessness.
Okay.
There's this chanting, there's this, and that's part of the problem. It's the tension that we Christians face because music is extremely important. It does draw you out of yourself. Mm-hmm. It should draw you to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And too often, it draws us to ourselves.
Yeah.
We just feel good.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the word of God is preached and it doesn't make you feel good.
Yeah.
So then you have to compromise the word of God to make everybody feel good. And pretty soon it's just feel good.
Yep. Tends to be Dionysius Rising. Dionysius Bacchus Rising.
Okay, here's the good news. Talk about some of the not so good news in the Western world. But good news is two major museums, not just one, two major museums are coming in the next 2 years. Do you know that?
No.
Two major biblical museums. I mean, good, solid, Christian, biblically based museums are popping up in the next 2 years.
Wow.
And these could be the largest monuments that Christianity's ever produced outside of some of the cathedrals, you know, way back in the 14th century.
Right? Yes, that is a fascinating concept that museums, because I always say this, museums are the churches of today.
Yeah.
They are the cathedrals of today.
Yeah.
It's where people go to worship, usually the things that are made by the hands of man, but you're talking about the idea that Christians are moving into the market.
They are.
And they're producing biblically based museums.
And I think they're distinctively biblically based, especially the Ark Museum, and that's an $80 million project.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got this other project. I wasn't aware of until I saw the World Magazine article this morning, a museum of biblical proportions, a $400 million Bible museum, and it is being built by the Hobby Lobby presidents.
Wow.
Steve Green, the president of Hobby Lobby. I think he's the son of the founder.
Uh-huh.
But they're building a $400 million museum out in Washington, D.C., on near Capitol Hill.
That's pretty cool.
It's a huge deal. It's a $400 million, four-story building. There's five permanent floor exhibits focused on the impact,
the
Greens, narrative, and history of the Bible.
The Green family has the largest collection of Bibles and artifacts in the world, if I'm not mistaken.
They do.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the Vatican, perhaps.
So, you know, I don't know what this means. Number one, I know these guys have a commitment to evangelism, and that's a good thing. But here's my question. Will Western Christianity end in a museum?
Well,
or will the Church of Jesus Christ survive? Now, you know the answer to this.
Well, I'm gonna take exception with you.
Go.
You're right. In Europe, they're turning churches into museums.
But the wrong kind.
The wrong kind of museums.
Right.
In this culture, what we've done is we're turning museums into churches. We've recognized that is the church of the day. People go to museums. More people go to the Museum of Denver, the Denver Museum of Nature and Science in 1 week than attend all the churches in Metro Denver, I would say.
Really?
Yeah. It is the third largest tourist attraction in the state.
Wow.
Outdistanced only by Rocky Mountain National Park and the Air Force Academy.
Mm-hmm.
More people go through that building than any other building in the state.
Mm. Wow.
Now, that bodes well for Christians if we recognize the trend and we take advantage by turning museums into churches.
There you go. That's right. If eventually we'll rebuild the churches. And of course, Christ answers this for us. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he meant that. And he's good for his word. We know that. Meanwhile, this is really the answer to what's happening with the world, especially the humanist world that rots itself out. The world passes away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And let's just take that to the bank. Take that home with us today.
Yeah. All right.
Well, friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. If you'd like to understand the battleground for the faith in the Western world, grab a copy of Keep the Faith Volume 1, Keep the Faith Volume 2. These we believe to be the battlefields, the absolute D-Day
the Omaha Beach of the World of Worldviews. We talk about education, talk about the family, talk about sexuality. And these are the hot button issues. This is where the war is waged. And I bring that out in those two little books, little hardbacks, about 80, 100, 140 pages. You can probably read the thing in four visits to the little boys' room. It's a great summary.
That's where all good reading takes place.
And that's why I mentioned it. But be sure you engage the battle. Be sure you're in the battle. And you're on the right side. Keep the Faith Volume 1. Keep the Faith Volume 2. You buy these, and we will give you a free copy of the Gen 2 results. Again, all available at generationfulvision.com or kevinswanson.com. Join us again next time, won't you, as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.